excited about this month, what God is doing in His house. I'm excited about our theme and our topic for this month. This month, this church will focus upon prayer. And I'm excited to talk about prayer this month. I will kick off a series today about prayer. And next week will be geared towards Mother's Day, but the following Tuesdays for the remainder of the month will all be geared towards prayer. And prayer is a subject that we need to revisit regularly. And it's a spiritual discipline that we need to have in our lives. We need to have functioning in our lives. Amen. And today, I want to speak to this body of some things about prayer. Amen. And I'd like to talk to you about a particular subject. I'd like to talk to you about the shackles of a safe prayer. The shackles of a safe prayer. I'm going to take my text today from the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll be reading verse 7 through 13. If you can turn there, meet me there. The book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. We're going to be reading verse 7 through 13. Amen. You can shout amen when you get there. If you do not have your Bibles, those texts is provided for you up on the screen beside me. The reason why those letters are in red is because they are the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We take our text today from the book of Matthew. By reading your Bible, a careful examination of Scripture, you will see that in all the things that the disciples asked the Lord for, you will see they never asked Him, Lord, teach us how to perform miracles. They never said, Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. They never said, Lord, teach us how to feed 5,000 with just a few fishes and a few loaves of bread. But you know what they did say? They did say, Lord, teach us to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. And when they asked the Lord to teach them to pray, this is what He gave them. He gave them what we call today the Lord's Prayer. And that's going to be the focus of our discussion today. We want to talk about the Lord's Prayer. We want to talk about the shackles of a safe prayer. How many know that Jesus lived dangerously? He did. He walked out onto the water in the midst of a storm. He reached out and He touched a leopard's body. He wasn't worried, Brother Peter, about being safe. He was being vulnerable. Amen. And what I hope to somehow speak into your spirit today is that we must get in our prayer life, we must be able to get into a place of vulnerability. We must be able to get into a place of vulnerability. Amen. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 7th verse, the word of the Lord says at the mouth of Jesus, but to His disciples, He says, but when you pray, He said, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do. For they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you even ask Him. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Ooh, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Forever. Amen. I want to speak to you today for just a few moments on the shackles of a safe prayer. The shackles of a safe prayer. Let's clap our hands unto the Lord as we get ready to be seated. Come on, how many is thankful for the presence of the Lord you have felt in this place? How many is thankful for His touch today? How many is thankful for an end time revival that the church is experiencing today? The Lord is so good. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated for a few moments. Amen. And I understand that I'm the only thing standing between you and lunch today, so I will try not to make you be any more disgruntled at me than you already are. I want to speak to you for a few moments today, the shackles of a safe prayer. I can speak from experience today, Brother Paul, over my life, that prayer is something that I have struggled with. And I think if everyone in this place was honest with themselves today, Brother Eric, we all would probably raise our hands and say, we have struggled with prayer. How many? I'll tell you what we'll do. Raise your hand if you never got in prayer and got distracted. Raise your hand if you never got in prayer and the phone didn't ring in the other room. Or you're in the car and someone pulls out in front of you when you're praying unto the Lord, and the next thing you know, you never even go back to prayer. Prayer is something that every child of God at some point in time has struggled with. I'm amazed sometimes at the people, since I began pastoring a church, at the people that come into the house of God that really don't even know how to pray. I've had people tell me, I don't even know how to pray. I've never been taught how to pray. They've never heard the Lord's Prayer in their whole life. But prayer is something that we struggle with. It's something that Jesus had much to say about. It's something that His disciples understood. They didn't ask the Lord to do all of the things that He did, but they saw how Jesus prayed and they asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. You know why they did that, Brother Ken? Because they understood that if He would teach them how to pray, they could achieve all of the other things that He achieved. Jesus said, these things cometh not but by fasting and by prayer. So the disciples understood the significance of the Lord's Prayer. We read in the Bible, you can do the study for yourself. People, there are all types of prayer in the Bible. We read that mothers who were barren, we see how that Hannah, whose womb was shut up, sought the Lord for a child, and the Lord blessed her with the child. And when the Lord blessed her with the child, she dedicated the child to the Lord. We can read how that David, when he came back to Ziklag from being out in war and his wives and his children were gone and the city was burned with fire, David began to weep uncontrollably. He said, bring me an ephod. He fell down on his face before the Lord, and he began to cry out unto God, and he asked God for direction. We see people asking the Lord for children. We see people asking the Lord for direction. We see people asking the Lord for deliverance over their enemies. We see people asking the Lord to raise the dead. We see people asking the Lord in prayer to heal their physical condition. There are so many different types of prayer throughout the Bible. And one of the things that I want to really point out to the church today, and I know that many people that are in the church have a struggle with this today, because I watch when we have prayer meetings and I see people come into the house of the Lord and they'll find them a place to pray and they'll only be there just a couple of minutes. Can I tell you, let me put it to you like this. How many have ever went to their job on their job in a day and you're just not feeling it? Right? Every day, right? Every day. So you walk in on your job, and man, I'm just not feeling it today. I can't get in a groove. I can't. And man, half of the time it feels like, especially Brother Brad, when you hurt, right? And you got to loosen some stuff up because you're getting old, and those bones are cracking, and the back ain't what it used to be. And you know, you don't feel like carrying carpet today, right? So it might take you a couple hours to really get some things loosened up and get moving. And finally, after a couple of hours, you feel like, okay, I can be productive now. I'm in a flow. And how many ever felt that way at work? Can I ask you today to relate your prayer life to that? When you get down in prayer, you got some junk in your way. You got everything that happened all week. You got the bills that are due. You got the kids that have been unruly. You got a difference of opinion and argument between you and the wife. You got a neighbor who's parking too far or too close to your driveway. You got everything you can think of is just running through your mind. And I've noticed in my prayer life, I really have some struggles for the first few moments that I'm trying to just break through my flesh. Can I tell you this? When Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the Bible says that he prayed until his sweat became like blood. He didn't get there in just a few moments. And you ain't going to break through some stuff in your life in just a few moments. You ain't going to break through this flesh. You're not going to break through your mind. You're not going to break through the week's activities. This is why the disciples said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We got to be able to pray like you do, Lord. We got to be able to break through some stuff. Can I tell you that the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Can I tell you, when you get down in prayer, you gotta break into a place where you break through the deceitfulness of the heart and you actually open up your heart and be vulnerable to God. What do you mean, Brother John, when you say you can be shackled by prayer? I didn't say you could be shackled by prayer. I said you can be shackled by trying to play it safe in prayer. Can I tell you there's a difference in praying a prayer and opening up and being vulnerable to God and humbling yourself and actually pouring yourself out unto the Lord and expressing what is in your heart unto God. This is what Jesus was talking about. We read of how the publican was praying out and openly before everybody. He said, Lord, I thank you because I ain't like that sinner over there. You laugh, but you've all done it. I've done it. He said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for where you brought me. Thank you because I don't do those things no more. Can I tell you, there is a safe prayer and there is a vulnerable prayer. We got to learn to pray dangerously. Jesus lived dangerously. Jesus, when he come off the seashore that one day into the land of the Gadareans, you know what he did? There was a man there, Sister Gail. He was possessed by devils. And the Bible says that he had the power to break chains. He often falleth in and out of the fire, his parents said. They said, how long has this been going on? Oh, since he was a youth. This man was possessed with devils. He had crazy power and strength. But you know what? Jesus walked right up to that man dangerously. He delivered him of every devil that ever plagued him in his life. And that man never, never one time ever fell into the fire again. And when Jesus walked up, the Bible says he was naked. But when he came back again and presented himself to the Lord, the Bible says he was clothed and in his right mind. Every devil in hell had let go of him. You know why? Because Jesus lived dangerously. Jesus was not afraid of vulnerability. Jesus understood he had to open his heart up and pour it out. What I come to tell you today, you will be shackled by a safe prayer life. If you don't ever really learn to open yourself up and to become vulnerable to God. How many know in your marriage with your husband and your wife, the longer you get to know them, the closer you get to them, you begin to open up and tell them things that you wouldn't tell nobody. You become vulnerable to them. You trust them in a way that you don't trust anybody else. Can I tell you, it has to be the same way between us and God. We have to reach a place where we really trust him. If you're not in a place you can get vulnerable before God, if you're not in a place you can break through your flesh, if you're not in a place you can really break through your heart, which is deceitful, and none of us can know it until we break into that place, we really open ourselves up unto God and pour out what is in our heart, God cannot fix what is in us. God cannot fix what is in us. So the disciples, they watched how Jesus. He didn't just practice very conservatively. No, he walked in there and he turned over the tables. He walked up right up to the Gadarene man who was possessed with devils, who had the strength to break chains and rebuke the devil right out of him. He walked up and laid his hands on the lepers. He walked right up to where Mary and Martha's brother was in his grave clothes, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. But we say, well, I'm afraid to ask God for something too big, because if I ask him and he don't give it to me, I'm going to get discouraged. And that's what I mean by safe prayers. Can I tell you, you got to learn to pray dangerously. You can't pray trepid prayers. You can't pray, these little conservative prayers. You got to ask God for something big today. You got to believe God for something big today. You got to believe God. You got to be willing to expose yourself and become vulnerable in the presence of your King today. And this is what the disciples witnessed of Jesus' prayer life. And this is why they told him, Lord, teach us to pray. Because they knew they could be, look, they knew that they could be shackled by a safe prayer life. Playing it safe never paid anybody big results. If you don't believe me, then play it safe in your 401k on your investments. You might get a small return, but you ain't going to get a big one. You're only going to get paid for the risk you take. And what I'm telling you as a child of God today, you got to be willing to get vulnerable, Brother Doug, in the presence of the Lord. And you got to be willing to expose to him some junk that you never exposed to anybody else in your life, because your heart is deceitful. And none of us could know it. So the disciples tell them, and Jesus gives them the example of how to pray. And I want to talk to you about today, and I've taught this in this church before. You're going to hear some of it again today. And let me tell you something, in a few years down the road, you're going to hear it again. Because how to pray, the more people that come into this church who have never developed a good prayer life, they got to be taught on how to have a good prayer life. And some of you are just going to have to bear with me if you hear some of this stuff that you've already heard before, because as new people come in, we have to teach them how to live for God, right? We have to teach them how to become vulnerable to God. I mean, I want to spend a few moments today talking to you about the shackles of a safe prayer life. Amen. The disciples saw him do many things, amazing things. They were there when he turned water into wine. They were there when he raised Lazarus from the dead. They were there when he fed 5,000 men and women, or men and children alone. That wasn't counting the women. They were there to watch all of these things. They watched him exercise authority and cast out devils. They watched him do all these things. But the only thing they asked him to teach them to do was to pray. They were so deeply impacted by the prayer life of Jesus that they knew if we can pray like Jesus, we can do the things that Jesus does. And this is why Jesus told them, greater things shall ye do. And this is the reason why Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Matthew 6 gives us a model of how to pray. If you look there, I want to give you a few principles today. Number one is you got to recognize him or invoke him. When I'm in a room full of crowded people and my dad is all the way across the room from me and there are lots of people in between me and him, if I want his attention, I'm going to call him by his name. Or if my wife, say my, maybe not my dad because I call him dad and not Claude, right? Let's say my wife. If my wife's in a room far away from me in the back of this room, I'm going to say, hey, Serena. And guess what she's going to do? She's going to go like this, and she's going to look at me. You know what I'm doing? I'm getting her attention. When I call her by her name, I'm getting her attention. Can I tell you this? When you start off in your prayer life, and listen, I remember when I really had a lot of struggles in my prayer life, and I'm telling you, by using these principles, I am now able to stay down in prayer longer than I used to. I break through my flesh more than I used to. I'm able to break open my heart and be vulnerable to God more than I used to be. How did I do that? By using these principles. Number one, you got to invoke him. You got to recognize him. You got to call him by his name. So when I'm praying, Sister Deb, and I'm in prayer, the first thing I do is I call on the name of the Lord. I say, Jesus, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my Protector. And I just begin to over and over and over again begin to tell him all the things that he is in my life. My marriage counselor, my relationship builder, my financial instructor, my doctor and my lawyer, my judge. You are everything to me, Lord. And I began to just call out to the Lord in prayer and tell him everything that he is to me in my life. And when I do that, you get the attention of heaven. It's like yelling across a room and saying, Serena. And she says, a love story. That's the way the Lord feels when we call out his name. Man, when you invoke him, when you yell out to him, when you say, Jesus, my God, the Lamb which was slain from the foundation of the world, my evening sacrifice, man, you'll find yourself in prayer just searching for things that the Bible says that he is. And when you do that, you're gaining the attention of the Almighty. Now, all of a sudden, there is a direct connection between you and your Creator. Now you have his attention. Now you can really get down to some business, right? But you got to spend a few moments there. You can't just say, Jesus, and then move on to the next step in the prayer, right? You got to spend a few moments there. Letting your mind work, letting your heart open up, beginning to break through some stuff. Don't be shackled by a safe prayer. Don't get caught up in vain, repetitious prayers. Listen to me. I applaud you for praying anytime, anywhere, any way that you can. I'm not telling you that you can't say a 30-minute prayer or 30-second prayer. What I'm telling you is when you're spending time alone with the Lord in prayer, you got to break through some stuff. You got to break through some stuff. You got to really spend some time with him, okay? So number one, you got to recognize him. This is what Jesus said. He said, when you pray, pray like this. The first thing he said, our Father who art in heaven. He recognized the Lord. He recognized him. He invoked him. He got his attention, right? Hallowed be thy name. He taught his disciples to begin their prayer life by acknowledging God as their heavenly Father. And if you need to begin your prayer life by acknowledging God for who he is, begin to think of who he is in your life. I tell him, I said, Lord, you're my favor with my boss. You're my favor with the contractors that I work with. You're the safety that gets me to work and home from work. You're the favor with my wife. You're the favor with my neighbors. Man, I just continually just let my mind work and I just try to think of all the things that he is in my life. Number one, I recognize him. You need to recognize the Lord in prayer. And when you do that, you're going to get the attention of heaven. You can come to the throne of grace like an unworthy stranger, or you can come like a child of God. You can come like a trepid, safe prayer. Oh, Jesus. Or you can say, Jesus, my God and my Redeemer, of whom shall I be afraid? Right? You can come to him with authority and with boldness if you just start to recognize him, begin to invoke his name. Tell him what he is in your life. You can come boldly before the throne of grace. The Bible says that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in the time of need. Number two, you need to praise him. If you look at the Lord's Prayer, the second thing, why do we praise him in prayer? Because he's high and lifted up. He's great and greatly to be praised. He's the Alpha and the Omega. That's another thing I say when I'm praying and I'm trying to find stuff to tell you. You're the Alpha and Omega, right? And I just let my mind work, Brother Kyle. Just keep on telling him what he is until I begin to break through some junk and I know that I have a connection with the Lord and I'm free from outside sources and outside influences, because all of us struggle with prayer. All of us. Number two, you got to praise him because he's high and lifted up. He's worthy. Everybody say he's worthy. He's worthy today. And when you come to him in prayer, you need to come to him in praise. You need to acknowledge the good things he has done in your life. Lord, I thank you for my home. I thank you for my wife. I thank you for four beautiful children. I thank you for all my grandchildren. I thank you for the job you gave me. I thank you for the wonderful church you gave me. I thank you for delivering Sister Wanda when she passed out at church last week. I thank you for delivering Brother So-and-so from the cancer that he had in his... Boy, I just begin to praise him. And if you'll do that and you begin to praise him, how many know God inhabits the praises of his people? Woo, boy, now not only do you got his attention, but now he's coming to where you are at. I feel the Holy Ghost today. Now you don't only have his attention, but now he's coming to where you are at. Because the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Number one, you got to speak to him. You got to invoke him. You got to recognize him. Number two, you got to praise him because he's worthy of all of our praise. All right, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. A grateful heart sets the tone for coming into the presence of God. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. The Lord loves a thankful heart. The Lord loves people that appreciate all the good things he has done in their life. So that's why we give him praise in prayer. We give him praise in prayer. Number three, we make our petitions known to him. I'm sorry. Number three is we submit to him. Getting ahead of myself. I'm trying to get you out of here. Number three, we submit to him. Look what the Lord said. The next thing he said, Brother Joe, he said, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. You know what Jesus was saying? Submit to me in prayer. Submit to me. Tell me you're willing to do whatever I asked you to do. So you know what I do? I just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I want your will in my life. I want you to give me my purpose in your life. I need you to guide my steps. I need you to do this. Lord, I submit to you. My agenda doesn't compare anything to your agenda, God. I submit to you. I submit my mind to you. I submit my heart to you. I submit my family to you. I submit my church to you. And I just begin to tell the Lord, Lord, I belong to you. I submit to you. We got to submit to him in prayer. You don't ever ask for petitions until you submit to God. And he understands that you are submitted to God, not just in your words, but in your actions. Our prayers must acknowledge our submission to God. His kingdom must come, church. His will must be done. And it's more important than yours is. So we submit to him. In prayer, number four, we make our petitions known to him. We ask of him. How many know the Bible says, knock and the door shall be open. Seek and ye shall find. Ask and ye shall receive. Huh? How are you ever going to receive something you didn't ask for? You know how many people I know been overlooked for promotions because they didn't have the guts to walk into their boss's office and say, hey, I've been with you for 10 years and I ain't had a single raise. So they get overlooked. If you don't ask, you ain't going to receive. Huh? We gotta come to the throne of grace boldly and be willing to ask God. Huh? We got to be able to willing to ask God and to make our petitions known unto the Lord. How comforting is it to know that Jesus included in his model of prayer a time for us to make our petitions known to him. What did he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Huh? Give us this day our daily bread. This is your time. Once you've recognized him, once you have his attention, once you've praised him, once he's come close to you, then once you submit to him and you let him know his ways are higher than yours, his agenda is more important of yours, then you can begin to ask of God what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Ask, and you shall receive. He said, give us this day our daily bread. The Lord gives to them that ask. To him that asketh, the Bible says. Right? Ask, and you shall receive. Number five, we ask for forgiveness. Somebody said to me one time, you don't need to ask God for forgiveness all the time. Don't you ever believe that. They don't know what they're talking about. Someone who tells you that you don't need to ask God for forgiveness all the time is unskilled in the Word of God. You need to ask, let me tell you something, every day of our lives we go out into this world and we get into muck and mire and stuff that we don't need to be caught up in. Come on, you can be scrolling through your phone, not even intentionally trying to look at something and see something that you should not have saw. You can get caught up in a conversation, not meaning to. Thank God for a Holy Ghost-filled wife who has a strong leg under the table who kicks me every time I get caught up in a conversation I shouldn't get caught up in. She lets me know very quickly, hey, it's time to knock that off. We don't need to be getting caught up in that. But let me tell you something. We get caught up in conversations we should not get caught up in. We get caught up in things we should not get caught up in. We laugh at jokes we should not even entertain and laugh at. And we do it and we don't even recognize it. We do it every day of our life. We get muck and mire on us. It's good for you every time you go to the Lord in prayer to say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for anything I have done that did not please you. Lord, sometimes I do things I don't even recognize that I do them. Lord, I need you to forgive me of them. So we ask him forgiveness. What Jesus say? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. His next step in the prayer in the Lord's Prayer. He said, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Can I tell you today that for your prayer life to be effective, you must search your heart and you must make sure there is no bitterness in your heart. Let me tell you something. There is the sin of the flesh, which we call sin, and there is the sin of the soul, which we call iniquity. Sometimes you can be jealous of somebody and not even realize that spirit has got a hold of you. It's iniquity. And we need to ask God to forgive us, because sometimes we're caught up in stuff that we don't even realize that we're caught up in. For our prayers to be effective, we got to search our hearts. We got to open our hearts up. We got to break into a place of prayer where we can be vulnerable to God and He can see us and we can expose ourselves to Him for what we are. Number six, we ask for direction. Your greatest thinking got you where you are today. Now, I don't know about you. The Lord's been good to me, but I want to go farther than where I am right now. Huh? And let me tell you something. Actually, where I am right now, I gave up. I lost my mind. People tell you, man, you lost your mind. I say, you're right, I did. I lost it a long time ago. And I never asked God for it back. I gave it to Him, right? Your greatest thinking will get you in your biggest messes. It really will. Your greatest thinking, your heart is deceitful. Who can know it? Your heart will convince you that you need that motorcycle that you didn't need. I'm not saying that. I'm not telling you I'm going to go to hell. Calm down. Calm down. I had a motorcycle. Gave me some hardware. I still have fond memories of it. But we will convince ourselves of things. All right? So we submit ourselves to God. And we ask God for direction in our lives. We all need direction. What did Jesus say? He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He was saying you need to ask God for direction in your life. We need the direction. We need the Holy Ghost to give us direction in our lives, because we get ourselves in some of the greatest messes that we could ever get in. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. One of the most important functions of the shepherd is to lead the flock, to lead the sheep. We as sheep have all gone astray. Is that not what the Bible says? We as sheep have all gone astray. We need the direction of a good shepherd. We need to ask God for direction when we are in our prayer time. One of the most important functions of the shepherd is to lead and to steer and take the rod and the staff and tell the sheep, get back over here into the sheepfold. How many ever feel yourself straying away from the church just a little bit? How many ever feel yourself straying away from your spouse a little bit? Straying away from your children a little bit? Getting the wrong perception about your job a little bit? We all need the Lord to take the rod of correction and steer us back into the place where we need to be. So every time we get into our prayer life, the Lord said, pray like this, right? And ask the Lord for direction. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us direction in our life. We need the Lord's direction in our life. And we get that when we ask for it and we express to the Lord how much it means to us in prayer. Number seven, we worship Him. Worship is so important. I can always feel in my spirit when the church transitions from a place of praise to a place of worship. Worship is so special. Worship is altogether different than praise. We praise Him for His mighty acts. We praise Him because He gave us a promotion on the job. We praise Him because our nosy neighbor leaves us alone. We praise him because the wife did the dirty dishes that was in there for 3 days and we're getting aggravated. Or the husband cuts the grass that was too high and we're frustrated because we don't want our neighbors to think bad of us. I'm just teasing. But we praise him for his mighty acts. We praise him for his goodness, all the good things he does in our life. Every day you wake up is a gift from God. Every breath you take, he gives you. Every blessing, every financial blessing, every health blessing, every family blessing, every church blessing, everything good in your life comes from God. So we praise him because of his mighty acts, but we worship him because of who he is. Worship doesn't require him to do anything for us. That's why it's so special to the Lord, Brother Ken, because we just worship him because of who he is. I mean, no, there might be times you might have to look back to recognize something that God did for you. But you can worship him every single day because of who he is. He's the great God Almighty. He's the Lamb which was slain. He shed his blood. He gave his life that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's the great God of glory. So we worship him in prayer. Look what Jesus said, "For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever. Amen." He said, worship me in your prayer life. When you pray, do it like this. He didn't say, repeat after me. You're not creating some kind of oath or some type of repetition. You're not joining a sorority club. This ain't college. This ain't high school. He's saying, when you do this, do it like this. He didn't say, repeat after me. He said, follow this pattern. Just follow this pattern right here. And he said, when you get ready to close out your prayer, you just start worshiping me. And you watch and see if my glory doesn't just fill that place where you're at. My God, come on, when they got back into that rear chamber there behind that second veil, and that priest went into that room, man, and that man, he put that mercy, he put the blood on that mercy seat. That Shekinah glory of God began to come down, and the glory of God began to fill all that room where that priest was at. That's what your worship does. Your worship brings the glory cloud of God, and it'll just fill that atmosphere. Man, and you can tell when people begin, man, people walk around, people dance, they jump up and down. I know people think we are crazy sometimes because the way we praise and we worship God, but boy, there's something special when we transition from praise to worship. You can feel it in the house. You can feel the glory of God begin to fill the atmosphere where we are. You can just feel his presence because God loves when we worship him. He said, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The model that Jesus gave us for the Lord's Prayer, he ended in worship. Through worship, we acknowledge that everything is his. We acknowledge that he is everything to us. All power is given unto him, both in heaven and earth. He alone is worthy of our worship. Nobody else is worthy of our worship. He said, thy power, he said, the kingdom, the power, the glory, it's all yours today. Not just now, but forever. So we study the example, we study the model that Jesus gave us of the Lord's Prayer. We can extract these things from it. Prayer is something that we need to take seriously. Prayer is not something that we need to make safe. We need to be vulnerable in prayer. We need to expose ourselves in prayer. We need to bring the Lord into our prayer life. We need to spend some time in prayer with the Lord. And prayer, when it's taken seriously, will become a place of refuge to you. Prayer is something that when you get up, you will feel emptied out. You will feel vulnerable and exposed and relieved of the burdens that you just laid at his feet when you do prayer right. What am I saying today? I'm saying that it's wonderful that we teach our children, now I lay me down to sleep. I said it to my children too. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. How many said that prayer with your children? We teach our children to pray before they go to bed at night. It's a wonderful thing. But God never intended for us to just recite prayer. Prayer has to come from a deep place within us. Prayer has to come from us exposing ourselves to God. Prayer has to be dangerous to us. None of us like to be vulnerable. None of us like to be exposed. But you're not exposing yourself to an enemy. You're exposing yourself to a friend that'll stick closer than any brother. Ooh, you're exposing yourself to a God that'll go all the way with you even to the end. So we can't make safe in prayer. We can't say, I'm just going to pray little bitty prayers and stay safe in prayer so I don't get disappointed in what I don't get. And that's the way a lot of us pray. If we're truthful about it, we have all struggled in prayer. We have all struggled in prayer. So we kick off this week, and I know this is as our musicians come quickly. We kick off this week today understanding that we got to live dangerously in prayer. We got to expose ourselves in prayer. It's not something we can be trepid in. It's not something that we can be conservative in. It's not something that we can be repetitive in. No, it's something that you got to do from your heart. It's something you got to humble yourself in the presence of God, and you got to expose yourself, because making safe in prayer won't do nothing but shackle you. You can actually be shackled in prayer. You got to live dangerously in prayer. You got to be willing to expose yourself in prayer. We all find ourselves overwhelmed by life. We all find ourselves overwhelmed by the things that we face day in and day out, the bills, the jobs, the duties at home. Stand with me if you would. We all find ourselves overwhelmed. We all find ourselves busier than we used to be. I'll catch myself sometimes if I wake up late for work and I don't spend time in prayer. I try to catch myself a little later in the day, but I find myself getting busy with the day's activities. Can I tell you, every child of God needs to prioritize prayer. It's a spiritual discipline that the Bible teaches us. We must learn to prioritize prayer. And prayer is something that you might not get everything you ask for. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. That rowdy boy you asked him for in high school, thank God he didn't give him to you. That crazy girl you so madly in love with, thank God he didn't give her to you. Huh? That house that you couldn't afford that you asked God so hard for, thank God he didn't give it to you. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers. Prayer is something that we must prioritize. We got to seek the Lord in prayer. Amen. So how do we apply all of this? We take these principles and we understand that we cannot play safe in prayer. We got to get out. We got to get vulnerable. We got to spend time with the Lord, and we got to break through our flesh, and we got to break into some places where we are alone with Him. How many know we need to be alone with Him? We need to be alone with Him. We're going to sing a quick closing song. Amen. But this week we'll be talking Tuesday night and the following three Tuesdays, several Tuesdays on prayer. Next week it'll be geared towards Mother's Day. We want you to invite someone to church. Amen. We'll have a beautiful backdrop here. It'll be geared towards Mother's Day. It's going to be a wonderful service. But The rest of the week in our midweek services, we'll be discussing prayer. In fact, we have a 24-hour prayer chain out here on the Welcome Center. It has a few slots left in it. I would encourage you when you walk out of this sanctuary to stop by that Welcome Center and say, I'm going to put my name in on this prayer list. We must begin to prioritize prayer. I'm not talking about repetition. I'm talking about earnest, heartfelt, exposing ourselves to God in prayer. All over this house, can we lift our hands for just a few moments as we sing this closing song? If you want to be closer to the Lord today, these altars are open. If you want to be closer to the Lord today, if you've never really had a good, solid prayer life, if you've never really stepped into heavenly places, if you've never really felt alone with God, regardless of anything that's going on around you, I want you to really dive into prayer this month. Because you're going to learn some things about prayer, some things that will change you, some things that will bring God into where you're at. We need to have a prayer life today. And it can't be a make-safe one. It has to be one where we're vulnerable. It has to be one where we're exposing ourselves to our Creator. Today, all over this house, let's just worship.